So picture this for a second. You just left a company, you handed in your laptop, you had that super awkward farewell cake in the break room, and you walked out the door.
Oh, yeah, the classic cardboard box walk to the parking lot.
Right, exactly. But imagine if, I don't know, 6 months later, you walked back into that exact same building, swipe your old plastic key card, and the doors just slid right open.
That would be terrifying.
Right. And then you walk into the server room, hop on a terminal, type in your old login, and boom, you have full root access to their financial databases. I mean, in the physical world, a deactivated key card still opening doors is like a highly visible, instantly solvable security failure. People would notice.
Yeah, but in the digital world, that exact scenario happens continuously, like all the time. Oh, absolutely. It is a massive symptom of a sprawling, highly fragmented enterprise architecture. I mean, tracking the life cycle of a digital identity across hundreds of decoupled applications, cloud platforms, legacy on-prem databases, it's a massive computational challenge. Most organizations honestly have no centralized view of what their users can actually do.
Which brings us perfectly to the core of this deep dive. Today, we are exploring the mechanical solution to that corporate chaos. We're utilizing a stack of architectural guides on SailPoint Identity IQ, specifically focusing on this really crucial process called aggregation.
Yeah, it's a huge topic.
It is. We want to look under the hood today to see how massive enterprises continuously map out their access reality. So, welcome.
And you really have to understand the stakes here go far beyond just, basic IT housekeeping.
How so?
Well, if you look at the National Institute of Standards and Technology, NIST, they explicitly outline in frameworks like SP 853 that trustworthy identity data is the absolute bedrock of a zero trust architecture. You literally cannot apply policies to assets or identities that you can't see.
Right, because if you don't know it's there, you can't secure it.
Exactly. If the identity data sitting in your governance platform is stale, I mean, every automated provisioning decision and every single access certification generated from it is just fundamentally compromised.
That makes total sense. So let's break down the mechanical structure of how SailPoint actually solves this whole visibility problem. Going through the sources, they outline two distinct data layers that the system builds. You've got the identity warehouse, and then you have the identity cube.
Right, two very different things.
Yeah, so at a database level, the identity warehouse is essentially this massive flat collection of raw data, right? It just holds every single application account, every entitlement that Identity IQ has managed to pull from the target systems.
Yeah, but the warehouse is really just the raw inventory. Like having a database full of millions of disjointed accounts, that doesn't actually give you governance.
Because it's not connected to a person yet.
Exactly. The actual governance happens within that second structure you mentioned, the identity cube.
Okay, so how would you describe the cube?
The cube is this synthesized 360-degree digital construct of a single human being. It acts as a relational anchor, so it takes, a user's Active Directory account, their SAP permissions, their AWS roles, and it ties them all back to one central authoritative identity.
Okay, wait, let me try an analogy here. Is the identity warehouse basically like a giant bucket of completely unorganized puzzle pieces?
Oh, I like that.
And then the identity cube is the completed 360-degree puzzle of just one specific person.
That is exactly it. Yes.
All right.
And without aggregation to actually build those cubes, Identity IQ is essentially an empty shell. Like every access review, every compliance audit, they rely entirely on that 360-degree visibility.
Okay, so we know the goal is building those centralized cubes. The engine that actually populates them is this aggregation task. And the documentation outlines a very highly specific five-step sequence for how data physically moves from, say, a target application into Identity IQ.
Yeah, it's a very rigid pipeline.
Step one is connector negotiation. And from what I read, this isn't just a simple handshaker.
Oh, no, not at all. The connector has to authenticate, establish the API protocol, and then negotiate constraints like write limits and pagination.
Pagination meaning like how much data it can pull at once.
Right. Like if an external HR system only allows a cursor to return 100 records per page, the connector has to manage that iteration seamlessly. It can't just crash when it hits record 101.
Got it. So once that connection is established, the task moves to step two, which is the account read.
Yes. The connector iterates through the target system, pulling back the raw account objects. So usernames, department codes, active statuses, all of that. And it actually translates whatever proprietary format the source system uses into a standardized schema that Identity IQ can parse.
Okay, and then we hit step three, which is correlation. And honestly, this is where I see the most potential for the whole system to break down.
Oh, you are spot on. It is the trickiest part.
Right. Because mechanically, the system is evaluating mapping logic. It takes an incoming attribute from the application, let's say an email address field, and it tries to match it to the authoritative email attribute of an existing identity cube in SailPoint.
Exactly. And when that mapping logic succeeds, the system moves to step four, the object build. The matched account gets saved in the SailPoint database as a link object.
A link object.
Yeah, think of a link object as a permanent tether between the external application account and the internal identity cube.
Okay, that makes sense. And then step five is the cube update, right? Where the identity cube recalculates its overall risk score and its role structure based on that newly attacked link object and commits it to the database.
That's the full sequence, yes.
But wait, I want to push back on step three for a second, the correlation step.
Okay, go for it.
If correlation just relies on attribute matching, what happens when the source data is inherently dirty? I mean, if a legacy database sends a null value for an employee ID or the string formats just don't match because someone manually typed a name differently, the correlation logic is going to fail, right?
It absolutely will fail.
So what happens? Does the system just drop the data and pretend the account doesn't exist? Does it float around like a ghost?
It does something actually far more problematic. It imports the data and creates an uncorrelated account, what engineers usually call an orphan account.
Oh, wow. Orphan accounts?
Yeah. The link object is still generated in the identity warehouse, but it has no identity cube to attach to. And in some configurations, SailPoint will actually automatically generate a dummy identity cube just to house that single orphaned account.
Wait, really? That seems like a massive flaw. You've just created a phantom record in your governance platform?
It is a massive issue.
I mean, when a department manager logs in to conduct their quarterly access reviews, that orphaned account isn't going to show up under their direct reports, right?
Yeah.
Because the system doesn't know who owns it.
Precisely. It creates a severe compliance blind spot because entitlements flow through those correlated accounts to build your role-based access control structure.
Right.
So imagine an engineer has admin rights in an AWS environment, but that AWS account fails correlation and becomes orphaned.
Oh, no.
Right. The system has literally no idea that engineer possesses those elevated privileges. This is exactly why deployment engineers will spend weeks, sometimes months, tuning correlation rules and writing complex logic just to handle edge cases, null values, formatting discrepancies.
Because if they don't, the data is useless.
Exactly. The quality of your correlation directly dictates the integrity of your entire governance program.
Okay, let's scale this up a bit. Because if a global enterprise has, you know, millions of identities, running that heavy five-step sequence, negotiating APIs, iterating over every single account, evaluating all that correlation logic, building objects, writing to the database, that sounds like an absolute IO nightmare.
Yeah, it's incredibly heavy.
Right. Running that across hundreds of applications every single day would just completely bottleneck the JVM and exhaust system resources.
And that is exactly why organizations manage that computational load by utilizing two distinct aggregation methods. You have full aggregation and you have delta aggregation.
Okay, so full aggregation first. That sounds like the brute force approach.
It is. The task queries the target system and just reads every single account, regardless of whether anything has changed. It recalculates the correlation for every object and rewrites the state of the identity cube entirely.
Which is obviously incredibly resource intensive. But I suppose it's self-correcting, right? Like if someone bypassed the proper channels and quietly deleted an account directly in the target database, a full aggregation is guaranteed to notice because the account simply won't be in the payload during that account read step.
Exactly. It catches everything. But you can't run it constantly. That's where delta aggregation comes in. It's the lightweight alternative, totally designed for speed.
So how does delta work?
Rather than pulling the entire database, Delta relies on the source system to broadcast what has changed. It basically asks the target application, hey, give me only the accounts that have been created, modified, or deleted since the timestamp of my last successful run.
Okay, I look at Delta aggregation almost like a version control system, like pulling commits in Git. You aren't downloading the entire code base every time. You are just fetching the specific delta hashes that actually changed since your last fetch.
That's a perfect way to visualize it. It drastically reduces database queries and network overhead.
But wait, in a zero-trust architecture, relying on an external application's internal event logging sounds like a massive vulnerability to me. I mean, what if the source system's logging service crashes or a webhook drops a payload?
Yep. You have identified the exact risk. Engineers call it delta drift.
Delta drift.
Oh, that's right. If the target system fails to accurately report a modification, Identity IQ just completely misses the change. And then the state of the identity cube inside SailPoint begins to diverge from the actual access reality of the target system.
And over time, relying purely on delta aggregations basically guarantees your governance data will become completely inaccurate.
100%.
So how do architects solve for that drift without, you know, bringing the network to a total halt with constant full aggregations?
They implement a hybrid scheduling model. So an enterprise will run frequent delta aggregations, often hourly or even continuously if they're using active messaging queues, to rapidly ingest the bulk of day-to-day access changes.
Okay, to stay fast.
Right. And then they run scheduled full aggregations during off-peak hours, usually overnight on weekends. The full aggregation acts as this comprehensive baseline reset. It sweeps through and catches any out-of-band changes or dropped events that the Delta runs might have missed during the week.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense. So that covers the data ingestion part. But aggregation doesn't just operate in a vacuum, right? It interacts heavily with the rest of the SailPoint ecosystem.
Heavily.
The sources are very specific about the order of operations when configuring these tasks. For example, they list different types of aggregation: account aggregation, group aggregation, and entitlement aggregation. And the documentation insists unequivocally that group aggregation must precede account aggregation.
Yes. And it really just comes down to basic database referential integrity.
Meaning what exactly?
Well, your target systems have hierarchical structures, right? Active Directory has security groups. SAP has complex authorization profiles. Identity IQ needs to actually ingest the definitions of those containers before it can assign people to them.
Ah, okay. So if I aggregate a user account that claims membership in the global domain admins group, but I haven't run a group aggregation on Active Directory yet,
SailPoint is basically trying to map a foreign key to a primary key that simply doesn't exist in its dictionary yet.
Oh, so the account data comes in, but the entitlements just completely fail to map.
Exactly. And this sequencing of background tasks extends beyond just the ingestion phase. Actually, a major point of confusion for new administrators is the distinction between an aggregation task and an identity refresh task.
Yeah, I saw those two terms used a lot. They sound similar.
They do, but they serve entirely different functions in the identity lifecycle. Aggregation is strictly an external operation, right? It connects to outside APIs to bring new data into the identity warehouse. Identity refresh, on the other hand, is a purely internal operation.
Okay, so an identity refresh isn't pulling data at all. It's calculating policy based on the data we just aggregated.
Spot on. When a refresh runs, the SailPoint engine evaluates the updated identity cubes against its internal business rules. It checks for things like separation of duties violations.
Okay, so if the aggregation just pulled in an account showing a user now has both, say, accounts payable and check writing privileges,
which is a classic toxic combination.
Right. The refresh task is what actually flags that combination,
yeah,
not the aggregation task.
Exactly. The refresh also handles automated role assignment. Let's say a user's department code changed during the aggregation. The subsequent refresh task evaluates that new attribute, dynamically revokes the access roles associated with their old department, and provisions the roles for the new one.
Wow.
The sequence is non-negotiable. You aggregate the external reality first, and then you refresh the internal governance logic against that new reality.
Which brings up the relationship between aggregation and provisioning. So provisioning handles the write operations. When an automated role assignment triggers, Identity IQ compiles a provisioning plan and pushes those access changes out to the target application.
Right.
But aggregation handles the read operations. So it seems to me like aggregation is fundamentally designed to be a closed-loop validation mechanism for provisioning. Is that fair?
That is extremely fair. It acts as the ultimate auditor of your automated processes. Let's trace it through a joiner workflow. HR enters a new hire into Workday. SailPoint aggregates Workday, detects the new user, and triggers a provisioning workflow to create their Active Directory and Salesforce accounts.
Okay, so SailPoint writes the data to those external systems.
Right.
But Identity IQ doesn't just, like, assume the provisioning was successful and update the cube immediately. It waits.
Yes. It waits for the next scheduled aggregation task to loop back, query Active Directory and Salesforce, and independently verify that those accounts actually exist and have the exact permissions that SailPoint requested. Only then does the data fully solidify in the identity cube.
Okay, that is fascinating. This closed-loop validation must be how the system catches out-of-band access.
It is the primary way, yes.
Because Think about it. If a developer gets impatient with the IT ticketing system and just asks a database administrator to manually grant them direct access to a production server, SailPoint has no record of provisioning that access.
Nope, none.
But when the next aggregation runs, it reads the database, sees this new elevated permission attached to the developer, and compares it against the approved provisioning history.
And the system immediately flags that access as rogue. Because SailPoint knows it didn't authorize and provision that entitlement, it highlights the discrepancy as a critical security anomaly.
Wow.
In a mature deployment, an automated policy will instantly trigger a remediation workflow. So it's either alerting a security operations center or automatically executing a deprovisioning task to strip that unauthorized access away immediately.
Understanding that workflow makes it so clear why massive enterprises, especially ones dealing with mergers and acquisitions, rely so heavily on this specific engine. I mean, when a company acquires a competitor, they inherit a completely unknown digital estate.
Oh, it's the Wild West. Legacy mainframes, incredibly complex SAP landscapes, undocumented homegrown apps.
Right, and the very first step in integrating that acquisition has to be pointing an Identity IQ connector at those systems and running a massive full aggregation. You literally cannot govern an environment until you have mapped its topography.
But that mapping process is incredibly fraught with performance traps. When an organization scales up to millions of identities, tiny microscopic inefficiencies in the aggregation pipeline compound into catastrophic bottlenecks.
I can imagine.
Engineers rely really heavily on the Identity IQ system logs and the detailed task results just to troubleshoot why an aggregation task that took 2 hours last week is suddenly taking 14 hours today.
And looking at the sources, they highlight custom rule execution as a massive culprit for those bottlenecks. SailPoint apparently allows administrators to write custom Java or Bean Shell rules that execute during the aggregation pipeline to transform data on the fly.
Yes, Bean Shell rules are very common.
But if an engineer writes a Bean Shell script to, say, reformat a username or execute a lookup against another table, that script runs sequentially for every single account being aggregated, right?
Exactly. And Bean Shell is an interpreted scripting language running inside the Java virtual machine. So it is incredibly flexible, but it carries a really high execution overhead. If a developer writes a poorly optimized rule that requires an external database query just to resolve a department name, they introduce a massive latency penalty.
Okay, let's do the math on that, because that is terrifying. If a custom rule adds just, 200 milliseconds of processing time per account.
Yeah.
And you are aggregating 5 million accounts. Wait, let me think. That's a billion milliseconds.
That's a million seconds.
That's over 11 days.
Yeah, you haven't just added a minor delay. You've introduced an 11-day bottleneck into a task that is supposed to run overnight, which is exactly why senior deployment architects strip out complex logic from aggregation rules wherever they can. They utilize in-memory caching, like hash maps, to load lookup data before the task even iterates through the accounts. It entirely eliminates the need for those per-account database hits.
That is wild. And beyond rewriting custom code, optimizing the underlying infrastructure has to be critical, too. I read that administrators can tune thread counts on the task definitions. So, increasing the number of worker threads allows Identity IQ to process multiple accounts concurrently, speeding up the ingestion pipeline.
Sure, but thread tuning is a very delicate balance.
Why is that?
If you allocate too many threads, Identity IQ will aggressively spam the target application with simultaneous API calls. You end up potentially triggering rate limits, or worse, completely overwhelming the source database's connection pool, causing the target system to just crash entirely.
Oh, so you DDoS your own HR system.
Exactly. Not a good day at the office.
Yeah, no. But the optimization tactic that really stands out to me involves the SailPoint backend database itself. Because the system has to perform a lookup query against the database every single time it evaluates that correlation logic we talked about.
Right, step three.
So if administrators don't properly index the specific columns used for correlation, like, say, a custom extended number one field holding an employee ID, the database engine is forced to perform a full table scan for every single incoming account.
And a full table scan across millions of rows will bring the database CPU to its absolute knees.
Wow.
Proper indexing ensures the SQL engine can execute those correlation lookups in milliseconds instead of seconds. Good aggregation architecture really requires tuning the entire stack. You're filtering out service accounts at the connector level, streamlining the Java execution layer, and optimizing the relational database schema.
It's just layers upon layers of optimization. And, as organizations transition toward more cloud-native governance models like SailPoint's Identity Security Cloud on the Atlas platform, obviously the underlying infrastructure that handles this scaling and data ingestion shifts. But the fundamental mechanical requirements, negotiating the connection, mapping the correlation logic, managing Delta Drift, and building that unified identity cube, those remain the absolute core of identity security. Aggregation really is the engine that converts fragmented, invisible enterprise risk into structured, actionable governance data.
It is. And, you know, consider the trajectory of the data those engines are collecting. We explored how aggregation builds this perfect 360-degree historical map of an identity, right?
Yeah.
Capturing every system touched, every permission held, every anomalous change logged.
Right. The complete puzzle.
Exactly. Now, as enterprise architectures deploy machine learning models on top of these massive data warehouses, the focus starts shifting from just auditing the past to actually predicting the future.
Wait, predictive access?
Yes. Think about it. When an AI engine analyzes your perfectly aggregated identity cube and recognizes patterns in your cross-application workflows, it will begin automatically predicting and provisioning the access you need for a new project before you even submit a request.
Oh, wow. So it knows what you need before you do.
Exactly. When your digital identity profile understands your daily operational habits better than you do, access governance transforms from a reactive security control into a truly proactive operational enabler.
A proactive identity model that provisions zero trust access based on predictive behavioral mapping. That completely redefines how we interact with corporate infrastructure.
It's the future.
Well, we will leave you with that architectural concept to explore on your own. Dive to your own deployments, verify your correlation rules, and definitely ensure your system isn't blindly relying on those Delta runs. Catch you next time.